We continue Epiphany Week, this time of the year when we reflect on the ways God manifested himself or manifests himself. In this sense, all of us are magi now. All of us are seeking the Lord, and all of us are drawn to him to prostrate ourselves in worship before Jesus. In the readings today, you'll notice a mention of fear. The apostles are afraid when they see Jesus walking on the sea. In fact, they're terrified. And in the first reading, St. John speaks about fear and its antidote, which is love. I'd like to reflect a little bit on this. I'm not sure I can make perfectly clear sense of it, but let's reflect on the experience of fear. First of all, we have to distinguish. There's the fear that comes from natural danger, a fear of falling off a cliff or fear of getting sick or something like that. And that's the kind of fear that is gripping the world nowadays in light of the pandemic again. Everybody's afraid of COVID-19 again. And the cases, of course, are rising, and we all know people who are infected. So that's a natural fear. On the other extreme, you could say, is what we call fear of the Lord, which is not really the same at all, but has a certain similarity, that awful respect, reverence for God, a kind of wonder in before the things of God, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit, by the way. It's not a bad thing at all to have fear of the Lord. But then there's this experience that is commonly recounted in the scriptures, where people encounter God, not danger in the sense of our usual ideas about fear, but God or something divine, and there's this experience of fear. So when an angel appears, for example, people are afraid. Or when people, when the people of the Old Testament, when they saw wonders on the mountain, they were afraid, and it was too much to take in. So this presents us with a kind of a difficulty, if we could put it this way, on God's part. How can he make himself known to us without scaring the daylights out of us? He's so powerful and so big that as soon as we encounter him, we're terrified. It's a natural reaction. Not that we're afraid of something bad happening, but we're just overwhelmed. How can God manifest himself? This is all about Epiphany, right? God making himself known, revealing himself. How could he do it without terrifying us? Well, he went from one extreme to the other, from being all-powerful and just unbelievably intimidating to being a little baby. So nobody's afraid of a baby, I don't think. So, yeah, no, people are afraid of getting pregnant and that sort of thing. People are afraid of childbirth or afraid of responsibility. But the baby itself is not what causes fear. It's the other things. So no one's afraid of a baby. When the shepherds see the baby, they're not afraid. They were afraid when they saw the angel, but not when they saw the baby. The magi, we don't know what they were afraid of because they're very courageous men, but they weren't afraid when they saw the little baby. They were awestruck. They were surprised. They were amazed. They weren't terrified. So Jesus is God made man, and we see him in his human nature. The problem with the little baby, or with the natural appearance of God, the human nature of Jesus, the problem is we don't necessarily recognize him as God. He's just like everybody else. So as I say, God who could be just terrifying just by the nature of divinity, makes himself lowly to an extreme Now he has to work himself back up to revealing that he's present in this child. And this is what we're reflecting on this week. Yesterday, Jesus multiplied the loaves. A stupendous miracle. Not a frightening one, but an awesome one. And something that should really awaken us to the power at work in this, what looks like an ordinary man. He's certainly an instrument of God. He can feed a multitude. He reveals the heart of a shepherd for his sheep. But it says here that the apostles had not understood the incident of the loaves. On the contrary, their hearts were hardened. So they didn't get it. And this is not unique to the apostles. This is us. We are intimidated by God, and we shy away from him, and yet when he does something to reveal himself to us, we don't even notice. Sometimes it's just because we're foolish or blind, but sometimes it's because we don't want to give an inch. We don't want to open ourselves to the possibility that God is at work in our lives and then we have to submit to him. That's where the challenge is. Because as soon as we admit, oh, God is here, God is at work, well, then we have to give in. We have to let him be in charge of us. Okay, so that was yesterday, the multiplication of the loaves. Now Jesus sends them off in the boat. Was he doing this just so he could have a little time for prayer? It says he spent some time on the mountain in prayer. Maybe he was trying to figure out, well, how can I deal with these people? I just did a stupendous miracle. I just fed thousands of people with a few loaves and they still don't get it. Well, maybe you could say he was thinking about what's the next step. But I think he was also giving an instruction to the apostles. He was saying, okay, now go home, go back to Bethsaida. Go ahead, you're a fisherman, you know how to get in a boat and go where you want to go. And let them experience the difficulty of life without him. It's a contrast. You know, life with him is abundance, more than abundance. It's 12 baskets full of loaves left over, and no problem. What's life without him? Well, it's something like trying to roll a boat into the wind. It's tiring, it's discouraging, it's dark, it's frustrating, it's fruitless. And that's what life is without the Lord. Now, it doesn't emphasize that this is a storm. The emphasis in this version is that they just weren't making any progress. They couldn't get anywhere. And that is the human condition without the Lord. So then he comes walking along on the water. Usually, a boat on the water has the advantage, and a person in the water can't make very much progress. Even a very good swimmer can't swim as fast as a boat. But you see the contrast here. These fishermen who've lived their whole lives in boats can't get anywhere, and Jesus just walks on the surface of the sea as if to show them, look, I'm talking about something completely different now. This is a revelation. This is an epiphany. Open your eyes to something new here. And once again, they're terrified. So they're terrified. So what does he say to them? Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Now see, this is the effort of the Lord to reveal his presence, to reveal that he's with us, and not to terrify us. And the way he does it is he keeps showing himself to us and then reassuring us that he's not here to destroy us. He's not out to condemn us. He loves us. That's where this first reading gives us a lot of beautiful insight. Talks about love and how what effect divine love has on us. God is love. We saw that in yesterday's reading. God is love. And whoever remains in love, remains in God and God in him, In this is love brought to perfection. So this is what God wants, for his love to be brought to perfection. He is perfect love. He doesn't have to be brought to perfection in himself. His love has to find its way in us, and he can't force it on us, so he has to keep exposing us to his love until we get it, until we're not afraid of him anymore. And this is how John says it. In this is love brought to perfection among us, that we have confidence on the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, he's love, so are we. We are in the process of being transformed in love. There is no fear in love. Now, he's talking about the fear of punishment, the fear of being condemned, the fear of being destroyed by God, the fear of the overwhelming power of God. The only reason that fear can be overcome is if we realize, when God is near us, as he approaches us, that he's not crushing us. He's purifying us, yes, and that is that's a difficult and frightening process, but it's for our good. So as he draws near us, he's not out to drown us. He's lifting us up. There's no fear in love, but perfect love, that's God, drives out fear. Perfect love drives out fear. You could say this is the whole summary of this week of Epiphany. This is a week in which perfect love is driving out fear. God is revealing himself in a way that is to get past our hardness of heart, our blindness, our fear, so that we realize, oh, we can trust this awesome God. We can entrust ourselves to him. We can approach him. We can bow down before him without being afraid of his condemnation. We deserve condemnation as we're sinners, but he hasn't come to condemn us. This God who comes as a baby, he comes to reveal love to us. That's Epiphany, perfect love. And the effect should be in us to drive out fear. One who fears is not yet perfect in love. It's a good point of reflection or examination of our inner life, where our natural fears are still preventing us. Fear of anything, fear of rejection, fear of suffering, fear of the future, fear of who knows what. When those things are preventing us from following God, well, then there's still work to be done. It doesn't mean we won't have fears, but we all have fears. But our fears don't have to stop us from being disciples. We can walk over them like Jesus walking on the surface of the sea. So this is the beauty of Epiphany. We open ourselves now to this revelation of God, which is a revelation of perfect love.